that drive to go out, be a little adventurous, be open to getting some support, but still trying new things, that student is going to arrive to William-Patterson and they are going to have multiple surprises. The time of their life aspect is going to come from having their expectations met and exceeded, because they're going to think one thing about New York City and then discover such a wide variety of amazing additional opportunities.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra.
Und ich bin Elias.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit im Ausland zu erleben.
Wir hatten dieses Mal einen ganz besonders spannenden Gast. George Kasenga von unserer neuesten Partnerhochschule in den USA, der William-Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey.
Wenn ihr euch jetzt fragt, was ist denn bitte schön spannend an einer Uni in Wayne, New Jersey, dann können wir euch einen kleinen Tipp geben. Der Campus der William-Patterson University liegt nämlich nur rund 30 Minuten mit dem Auto oder 45 Minuten mit dem Bus von Downtown Manhattan entfernt und bietet euch somit das Beste aus zwei Welten. Eine typisch amerikanische Campus-Uni und gleichzeitig den direkten Zugang zu einer der wahrscheinlich aufregendsten Metropolen der Welt.
Und der Campus der William-Patterson University ist wirklich super schön, wie Alexandra und ich bei unserem Besuch im Mai selbst feststellen konnten. Sehr modern, sehr grün und weitläufig und einfach von der Atmosphäre her sehr angenehm.
Ja, das fand ich auch. Aber das Beste war das Murmeltier, das uns über den Weg gelaufen ist.
Ich glaube, davon erzählst du noch in 20 Jahren.
Das kann schon sein, aber ich fand es halt einfach richtig cool. Vorher kannte ich Murmeltiere wirklich nur aus dem Film. Aber nun zurück zum Gespräch mit George. Er hat uns nicht nur viel über die Studienangebote und das Campusleben an der William-Patterson University erzählt, sondern er hat uns auch viele Tipps für Ausflüge in die Region und natürlich nach New York City gegeben.
Das ist auf jeden Fall wieder eine Folge, bei der sich das Mitschreiben lohnt. Viel Spaß beim Hören und los geht's!
Hi George, welcome to our podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So we are going to talk about William-Patterson University today. But before we do, we want to get to know you a little better. So we're doing a little check-in, if that's okay. And my first question would be, what is your role at William-Patterson and what do you like most about it?
Well, again, thank you for the opportunity to join you and all your listeners today. Again, my name is Dr. George Kasenga, and I am the Vice President for Enrollment Management at William-Patterson University. I've been with the institution for about 6, maybe 7 months at this point. And you know, all of the things that attracted me to leave where I was before to join this community are what keep me excited about it here 7 months in. There is a lot of momentum at this university around the academic offerings, what the faculty are doing. We have students who are motivated and doing exciting things. So it makes it an exciting place to be. It is not just a, you know, it's not just a day-to-day job. It really is a community that we get to be a part of.
Fantastic. I mean, you forgot one very important reason, and that is that you get to work with us now.
Hey, fantastic.
It's a brand new collaboration
exactly. As
well, and we're super excited to start working with you. And Elias and I were on campus in late May. Mm-hmm. So we did our due diligence to find out whether the campus was good enough for our students, which we determined it was. And we'll talk about the reasons a little later. As I said, we're excited. About 3 times now. So
I remember being so impressed that you tested the bus route from basically Times Square or somewhere in New York City to campus, which is so convenient for our students. But I love that you tested it so you could really understand what that student experience is like for those without a car.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience, actually. Our second question would be what your favorite travel destination so far has been, either nationally or internationally, and what is one place that you have never visited but would love to explore?
Well, part of my career in higher education is motivated by the fact that I was not able to study abroad myself as a student. Part of that was, you know, family situation, but it was also some events, the events of 9/11, which we just, you know, recognized recently, complicated my capacity to study abroad at that time. It was a very complicated time. And so a lot of my career has possibly been to make up for that experience. I've been very lucky to travel, very fortunate in that regard. But I am married to someone from Uruguay, South America. So one of my favorite places to travel is going to Montevideo, but spending time with family and having that more local experience, which is what I think William Patterson will afford to the students who visit our campus and become part of our community for a while. It's not just that tourist experience, but it's that, you know, really having the true cultural experience. A place that I would like to visit may not be the most popular on the list, but I've been lucky enough to be on 6 continents at this point. So I would love to touch Antarctica at some point.
And we
do think about Montevideo is a common launching place for or port for trips into Antarctica. So that will that day will come eventually.
Yeah, I hear that ship voyage is not the most pleasant one.
I'm not excited about that.
I know there's a shortage of hotels in Antarctica, but no, that sounds amazing. So, so George, final question for the check-in. What is a fun fact that people would be surprised to learn about you?
Well, a fun fact that I'm proud of is kind of my fitness claim to fame. I have completed an Ironman triathlon. I've done a couple at this point, but these are, they're quite an investment and a lot of training, and it's a mental strength as well as physical. So I've recently been thinking it's been enough years, you know, decades since I've done my last. I've done a couple halves along the way, but I am starting to think, can I do that again at my current age? And, you know, I may. So we'll see if that comes around. Maybe some of the students who come to campus will want to train with me along the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you're considering, there is one every year in Frankfurt. So that used to be the European Championships, like Open European Championships. It's always in late June, early July. The weather is nice.
Well, I love the biking, but I'm going to have to check the topography to see what the hills look like for the run before I commit to.
Well, there's no hills on the run. It's basically along the river.
Basically, the city.
There's a hill on the bike course, but there's no.
Well, you know, I've told you before. Frankfurt is one of my absolute favorite cities.
You're saying that to everyone you're talking to.
It's not true. I've been to Frankfurt more than maybe any other city in Europe, and I travel a lot.
No, but that's good. I mean, we'll definitely take you up on that. And I didn't know that. I'm a huge fan of Ironman and triathlon. I mean, you probably know that Jan Frodeno just ended his career on Sunday at the World Championships. So, yeah. So now we have to wait for a new one. All right. But this is not an Ironman podcast, so we should probably get back to talking about William Patterson. Now that we're checked in, I think we can kind of move our focus a little bit. What I can say is we have partner universities in a lot of major cities in the US, including Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, and now Wayne, New Jersey, because that's where William Patterson University is located.
That is right.
Why would you say Wayne deserves a spot on this acclaimed list?
Well, yeah, you're right. It makes me smile to hear those everyone hears, and then, you know, then Wayne. Well, one of the things about Wayne certainly is its proximity to New York City. We're in the greater metropolitan area of New York City, so students who come here are going to have access to everything that the city offers. But it also creates that space for a retreat, because any student, I think, that is studying in the United States, their first priority is the academic experience. Also, the cross-cultural elements are there, but we want to make sure there is a nice space for both of those activities. One of the things when I thought about that list of cities is what is almost more important than the city itself is the relationship that you have with the institution. So, you know, that's one of the things that's going to make Wayne a great city to be in, is that we will have laid a lot of groundwork so that there is a nice opportunity, a smooth process for the students who want to have that American cross-cultural experience to arrive to Wayne and, you know, really take advantage of it. So I think that relationship we have is a big part of it. But of course, we're a city where we have access to New York easily. But we have quite a few offerings just right in town. So the campus itself where we are is a very green space, but there's enough of an urban space here where students are still going to have access to everything they want to do locally without that having to be a trip into the big city. But I'm excited to get students to come visit Wayne and then be able to ask them this same question so we can learn some more differentiators from the students who actually live it.
Before we move on, maybe just to give our listeners an idea of what kind of proximity or distance we're talking about, how far is it from Wayne to, let's say, Manhattan, and how can you get there?
Yeah, so from campus, we have a public transportation, a bus that takes about 40 or 42 minutes. It's about $9 each way for the ticket. And that on its own, it comes multiple times a day. So that's an easy way to get to and from the city. Of course, most of our international students on campus quickly make friends with local students who have cars, and some will choose to do this type of travel as well. But there's also a train nearby that you can, there's a ferry that can take you into the city. There are a lot of ways to get into New York, but the easiest right from campus. So it's almost just walking from your residence hall room. You can get to the bus stop easily, and it will take you right into the city. It's about 20 miles. I'm doing the quick calculation in my mind. Is that about, I think,
it's about 30 kilometers.
And so, you know, it takes about 40 minutes for transportation.
I mean, that is the bus that we took because we stayed in Midtown, and we took the bus from, I'm trying to remember what the name of that station is, the bus station. Is that Port Authority Terminal? Yes, Port Authority Terminal. Thank you so much. So because we were staying in Midtown, and we took the bus from Port Authority Terminal, which was about a 10-minute walk from where we were staying, and it took us right to campus, and it was super easy.
And it was a beautiful drive as well. We got a good view of the city, and can definitely recommend that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, many of our residence halls and different spaces on campus also benefit from those incredible views. Even from my office on a clear day, I can see the skyline of Manhattan, but it has to be a winter day because there's a lot of greenery on campus. So right now, in that direction, I see, you know, lots of leaves, and it's beautiful for those reasons. But in the winter, I can see the skyline of New York City. And again, many of our conference rooms and the residence hall rooms have that same view. And again, the higher the building is, the better the view is, and it's spectacular on a nice clear day.
Cool.
So George, what would you say are some of the advantages of studying near but not in New York City?
Well, many of the students, you know, domestic and international students who are interested in being near New York City are often overwhelmed by the big city initially. And so there is value in having the kind of opportunity at William Patterson where you get access to it, you could go at your own pace, be there with friends that you've made, and not have that kind of overwhelming, daunting experience, but at a pace that makes more sense while you're trying to balance your academic work, making new friends, being in a new country, speaking English all the time, all these kinds of things. There's the beautiful location. Again, there's the access. But in Wayne, one of the other major benefits is that we have a lower cost of living. So many of our students, you know, who are interested in being in New York, once they see what the cost of a flat is going to be for a semester or a year, these different things, will recognize that being at Wayne or at William Patterson is going to give them just an affordability option so that they can do a lot more while they're here, not spend all those resources on their living expenses.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So, yeah, you just mentioned the cost of living in New Jersey. But my question is, or I have another question, why are Wayne and the state of New Jersey an attractive study abroad destination?
Well, I will say, having never lived in New Jersey prior to my current experience, I had an idea of New Jersey based on, you know, media and popular TV shows and things that students may have seen. But to be here, you realize what a contrast it actually is. New Jersey does offer a bit of everything in terms of an urban city setting, rural, suburban. Now, having lived in Colorado recently, here they'll call it the mountains. It's not like the Rocky Mountains, but we certainly have beautiful regions that are very hilly, some they'll even call mountains. But we have beaches with the shoreline. We have a number of cities and towns that are attractive tourist destinations. Students probably have heard of Atlantic City or a number of other locations that we often, as part of our student life, there may be day trips to these locations, or we can help coordinate the transportation for students. We want students to enjoy everything the state has to offer. The other benefits, in New York City, there is, of course, high population density. So being at William-Patterson, just offset a little bit, we have great access to all these different locations for internships in the different industry. A lot of them have a New York City office, but then they have their other offices in New Jersey, where we have access as an institution, where we're always working to maintain those relationships for students. And of course, New Jersey is has a very diverse population, and that's also present in the William-Patterson campus community. So we're excited to welcome the international students here.
You said very diverse community. I remember when we visited, you talked a little bit about the German history that the area around the university has. And I noticed a lot of German street names, and I think even the name of the current president of the university is German. I think it's what it is. So what's the story behind that?
Well, you know, the United States has a deep history with German immigrants in the country. Even when we do our census, and I haven't looked at the most recent results, but it's common that German is ranked among the top few languages, second languages that U.S. citizens speak. Now, if you are on our campus, you're probably not going to encounter a lot of people outside of maybe the International Club or some different academic departments who can speak fluent German with you. But the evidence of that part of our heritage is present, right, in the names of buildings and street names. And again, even our president has that German heritage.
Mm. Cool. So you already mentioned that you recently lived in Colorado. In fact, that's where you moved from when you came in, I think, February. So that basically means that the greater NYC area is still fairly new to you as well. So you're probably still in the honeymoon phase. Absolutely. Of living in or around New York City. What do you enjoy most about the city that never sleeps so far?
Well, it's not just the city itself, but it's what's happening in and near the city. So, you know, a weekend or two ago, we went and saw a Broadway show off Times Square on a Saturday. And then on Sunday, we went into not quite upstate New York, but we went and picked peaches at an orchard and then did some things that are more customary for kind of a farm orchard experience. To be able to do both of those things in the same weekend, vastly different settings, but amazing experiences. Those kind of opportunities are present constantly in this area. One of the things that I encourage all of our students to be mindful of is that we do have to be active participants ourselves in seeking out the opportunities that interest us. The university is always putting together lists of the different activities that are going on. I'm excited right now because next week is our Latinidad celebration, and it's a week long of campus-based activities where we also pull in people from the community. But not just what's happening on campus. Part of being, like you said, near the city that never sleeps is there's a wealth of activity in and near the city. And it's incredible to take advantage of it. So whether you want to have kind of this orchard or, you know, a pioneer American culture kind of experience, you can do that in the same weekend that you have a very elevated experience either in New Jersey or in downtown Manhattan.
Cool. So what would you say are, let's say, five must-see attractions in New York City that students shouldn't miss out on?
Well, certainly Central Park. The other day, I've now gone down a couple times just to bike through Central Park. Students can rent bikes at the park and spend the day there, or work with friends to rent or borrow these kinds of things. Going to Lincoln Center is certainly going to be an exciting thing. Visiting, you're going to want to do the Statue of Liberty and the Empire State Building. You'll get those things out of the way early. They're impressive and fun, and they're touristy in nature. But going to a sporting event, so going to a Yankee or a Mets game is certainly going to be something you want to do. We're here through the winter months, if that's what your academic experience includes. So going to Rockefeller Center, in many movies, you've seen ice skating around the giant Christmas tree and all these things. these are real opportunities that are accessible to you while you're here. So I'd certainly want you to take advantage of that. But just adjacent to our university campus, we have a 1,200-acre preserve. So, you know, you can get downtown and do all of these exciting things in the city, but you can also go hiking or spend the day looking for different waterfalls that we have or all these trails. We have a great environmental science program that's doing a variety of different experiments that are happening in these different spaces that you can learn about and understand what's happening here to conserve the beautiful nature that we have in New Jersey as well.
And you have real winter, so there is quite good skiing as well.
There is real winter, and I will say, I don't know how to interpret it yet, but they the Almanac recently came out and said that we should have a very nice snowy winter in New Jersey this year. And, you know, for the student who hears that, and, you know, maybe that causes a concern, we are prepared for these types of things. So paths will be shoveled, the roads will be clear, all
good.
Of that will
so
be
the
fine.
Bus is still running.
Bus
so.
Is still running.
Yeah, that's good to know.
It's
yeah.
not California where everything stops when it starts raining a little bit.
So. Yes, I love the buses still running. That's exactly right.
Cool.
Perfect. Just to backtrack here a little bit, George, you already mentioned some of the landmarks and must-see spots in New York City. Can you offer up any, you know, lesser known spots in New York City? Because our students do have the opportunity, of course, to spend a whole semester or two in Wayne or New York City. So they have a lot more time to explore the city, of course. So what would you say are some lesser known spots that you would recommend to international students?
Well, one that is unexpected and interesting to me is that, you know, students may have heard of the musical Hamilton, and he founded the Center of Industry that is near Wayne that for many, many decades was a, you know, it was the silk capital and it was all these different things, but it was a center of industry. And a lot of it was powered by what is called Patterson Falls. And it is the second to Niagara Falls, which maybe many people have heard of as being this largest volume of water waterfall. Patterson Falls is the second largest, and it is very, very close to William Patterson. It's a beautiful sight to see. And there's a nice park, and it's an interesting place to hang out. But what I'm having fun exploring right now, one, I like to play chess. I won't say that I'm good at chess, but I enjoy playing chess. And I recently found a store that is in New York that has been there for many, many, many decades. And you wonder, how do they keep up with rent just being a chess store? But the owner's whole premise is to create the space for people to come in and take the time to play with chess masters and work with one another. And if you buy a chess set, all the better. But his focus is just on the game and teaching. And so it's nice to find things like that to do. But what I'm exploring at the moment are the different ethnic communities. Sure, there's a Chinatown that is absolutely worth visiting and these kinds of things. But there's also a community of Peruvians where all the food and ethnic activity there are specific to that culture. And there are pockets of these types of groups all throughout the city. So that's what I have been exploring my most recent weeks when we go into New York or even just staying in New Jersey. Those communities aren't concentrated solely in the city, but they're in the greater metropolitan area. So there's a community of Ecuadorians and Uruguayans here in Jersey that we like going into that neighborhood because we can find the ethnic restaurants, the grocery stores, and just different cultural and arts elements that we may not find, you know, on a list of the top 10 things to do in New York City, but are incredible experiences all the same.
Mm-hmm. So aside from New York City and the New Jersey area, are they any other interesting cities or travel destinations that you would recommend to students studying on the East Coast?
Well, you may have heard me reference the New York, the greater metropolitan area of New York, but this area of the East Coast, if I say this correctly, is sometimes called a megapolis because from a train ride from where we are in Wayne, or if you might have to go to Penn Station in New York City, but you can get to Boston, Providence, Philadelphia, Baltimore, DC, all within just a few hours. And so that gives access to incredible, in some cases, they could be day trips. I've gone to DC and back in the same day for things I had to do. But, you know, I want our students to spend more time there when they can. But incredible access to not just history, but cultural activities, arts, performances, entertainment. all very accessible through the trains, fortunately, that we have on the East Coast. This isn't true for the whole United States. So even thinking about some of those other big cities that you mentioned earlier, another differentiator for us here at William Patterson is access to the East Coast rail system.
I mean, I really think that William Patterson's location is ideal for students because you have this access, but you also have this very typical American campus experience. And I've been to quite a few campuses in the US. And when we visited in May, I mean, the weather was gorgeous. It was blue skies. It was sunny. It was just really, really nice. So that definitely helped. But I fell in love with the campus because I really thought it was one of the most beautiful campuses I had been to at that point. It's super spread out. It's a lot of like green lawns. It has a lot of beautiful buildings, some more modern than others. And it just has this typical American college feel that I think a lot of students are looking for and that students might know from movies and and TV shows. But it's surrounded by nature. And when we were there, we even saw a groundhog on campus. I don't know if you remember, but I claimed to have seen one. And then we went and we actually found it. But you said there's other wildlife as well. So what else do you have on or around campus
students can watch out for? I wanted to show you some lab or some new fancy thing, and you guys distracted me. which is perfectly good.
I've never seen one in real life, so I only know Groundhog Day as a movie. So,
yep. I saw one actually this morning. You know, there as I was driving in, I actually thought about taking a picture of it, and then I thought, you know, what am I going to do with this picture of a groundhog? But it was, you know, whether there are deer, geese, all types of birds, these types of things. You know, a lot of these animals, the birds anyway, migrate up and down the East Coast. So we see a lot of interesting animals in that regard. That's they're attracted to the campus because of the amount of nature we have nearby. And, you know, I've never seen one, but, you know, our mascot, you know, we have we are the Pioneers. We're the William Patterson Pioneers, but our mascot is a black bear named Pio. Now, I've never seen a black bear on campus. I don't expect that any of our students will see a black bear on campus. But I think in this area years ago, and they potentially are still out there in the nature preserve. But seeing nature like that is going to be a regular part of a student's experience. And for some of our students, especially even not just international students, but those who come from an urban setting, there is, a day or two of some things you're going to learn from your faculty or your friends on campus telling you which ones you might be able to get close to and which ones you should leave alone. You'll learn those lessons quickly, but there's nothing dangerous that's going to, approach you while you're on campus.
That's good to know. Yeah. What else can you tell us about campus maybe? Maybe important buildings or new facilities that you're particularly proud of?
Well, the campus itself, is 405 acres. It's a 405-acre wooded campus. It is designed to be a walking campus. So there is ample parking. We're never going to have a shortage for parking, but it's situated in a way that it's on the perimeter of campus. And so you can park in the lot that's convenient for where you need to be, but then you walk into the central part of campus so that it's a walking, there isn't traffic to contend with when you're going between buildings or classes. We did just receive a $41 million grant to build a new recreation center. So while I like the facilities that we have, we're able to expand that because athletics is an important part of our campus life. I mentioned that Ironman before, but I also have played rugby for many, many years, even in an adult league. So we have a club sport for rugby. But you'll learn there's a difference between like our football and our baseball and our tennis and all these different sports. They're part of, you know, the professional, well, not, excuse me, not the professional, but the official divisions. But then we also have club sports, which are accessible to all students at any level. So we want to make sure, you know, for the student who just wants to use the gym or the cardio machines or all of that, of course it's available. But if you want to be involved in team sports and you're not ready to be in our top tier sports, there's still going to be club sports available to you. And again, pretty much every sport. I don't think we have Quidditch anymore. Quidditch comes and goes on campuses depending on levels of student interest. A wide variety of all the different sports that any of our students are going to be interested in are going to be available. But, you know, other facilities on campus, there are quite a few really impressive spots, whether it's for the nursing students who need to practice their clinicals and have access to those equipment. We have for the business students, there is a kind of a mock stock exchange where you can go in and rehearse all of those different assessments and how all of that is going to work. There are labs for, there's a computer science lab or geoinformation science lab that is just amazing with this topographical map. There is a place where, you know, we've gotten away from dissecting animals and the human body so much, and now there is this technology allows students to rehearse these different procedures in a way that is led by technology, but just as necessary for training our students on the skills that they need. So William Patterson certainly works to keep current. We have 16 specialized accreditations, whether it is AACSB for the business students or ABET for those studying computer science or those disciplines. You know, we keep current on all those fronts, and our faculty are doing all types of interesting research that many of our undergrads and graduate students get involved with that faculty research. And even a visiting student who's non-degree but here for the year is still going to be part of that campus community and have access to those experiences.
So what can you tell us about student life at William Patterson? I mean, I can imagine because the city is so close, there's always kind of the danger that students are kind of drawn to the city and don't spend a lot of time on campus, or am I wrong?
Well, I mean, we have around 10,000 students at William Patterson. So even if there is I'm sure there are students who are having adventures in the city and going places during the weekend. There's also quite a bit of campus life happening as well. Some large events are going to be readily visible to students if you're not in tune with what's happening. But we have so you could just see it happening on campus. Other smaller groups, whether it's some kind of like a poetry jam, or there's a chess club is doing something, or the International Student Club is meeting, you might not see that if you're just walking on campus. So you have to pay attention. There's a great events calendar that keeps tabs of all the different activities that are happening. There are daily announcements where things are promoted. There are certain spots on campus with posters and whatnot, so you can see the activities. We also have an app that students can download, which will also keep them in tune with what's happening on campus. The student life folks do an amazing job at incentivizing students to participate in different clubs or activities, especially when students are new, because you have to, part of the goal is not just the activity, but to create relationships and bonds with students so that they are then having a support network and a friend network. That they then start finding their own activities that they want to do on their own. But no, ample campus life, and whether it's, the other piece of it is there's also an athletics component or sports component. Many weekends there are football games, baseball games, soccer games, volleyball, tennis, all the different things. There is a campus community that rallies around those groups, and you'll always find students as well as staff and administrators. When I talk about the campus community, it isn't just the students. You're going to find our campus president or members of the cabinet, the other vice presidents. We enjoy attending these different events and being with our students and seeing them succeed, whether it's inside the classroom or the activities they're doing outside of the classroom.
And I think what ties in with campus life, or what's closely connected to this, is the topic accommodation. So I think you have hinted at this throughout the podcast, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that. So where can international students typically live while they're studying at William Patterson?
Sure. Well, one of those things I mentioned was just the cost of living and affordability. It is certainly more affordable to live on campus in one of our residence halls than it would be certainly in downtown. But you know, even in the surrounding area, there are apartments and things that students will sometimes choose to opt into. But the most affordable option, what I think lends to the most student success, is living on campus. There are a variety of options, but while you two were visiting campus, I think we went up into Overlook Hall, I think it was. Mm-hmm. You got to see from one of those lounges, because we had such a beautiful, clear day, the skyline of New York City, and it looks like just green rolling hills, even though, you know, there's, you know, a lot of urban activity happening in between. But students will have options for, you know, having a roommate, being in an apartment style. Sometimes they're called quads. There are a variety of different options. Some will have kitchens, some will not. We're going to have options that meet what a student's needs are, and of course, what their affordable or their price point is. But there's great campus dining. There are multiple restaurants and spaces to eat throughout campus. So there isn't going to be a lack of access to food for any of our international students who are visiting. But sometimes we have, you know, we have national and federal holidays, depending on if a student wants to stay for one semester or for a full year. If they want to be in the residence halls, they're going to want, during those breaks, we want to have those conversations in advance. So we make sure the students are getting rooms that have kitchens or those different accommodations, so that part isn't a challenge that they have to deal with.
Hmm. Sounds good. So you've worked at a number of institutions across the U.S. What would you say are some of the things that make William Patterson different or unique in comparison to these other institutions? Like, what if you found at William Patterson that maybe surprised you or that you hadn't experienced before?
When I'm talking with any student about their choice of a university, the driving motivator for me is that the student end up somewhere where they are going to thrive and be successful. It's not just about, you know, getting a student to choose William Patterson. And so I'm encouraging anyone listening to this podcast, you know, look at the institution and be mindful that we want you to choose a place where you think you're going to thrive, and then we're going to help support that for you. When you're looking at different institutions, and we've touched on these kinds of things already, the size of the school, the location, the different academic programs, which I'm not sure I said we have over 150, but we can unpack that in a minute. But academic programs and the cost and all those are variables that every institution will have a different kind of calibration on. One of the things that William Patterson does is that I really value and I'm happy to be a part of, it's not a question of what we offer our students, but it's how we offer it. For our students, we really emphasize what we call wraparound service. So our students who come in through an app initially, people are always available in person, but our students are asking for more things to happen through their phone. And so we're working to respond to that. Students have access to their academic advisor, a career counselor, and a financial aid counselor. The same three people are their student, the core of their student success team. And so through an app, they have access to them. And they're often the first place that a student can go to get guidance or direction. And then there are multiple layers, but that team is the core. But it's all about wraparound service. So we want students to have clarity on who they can go to and know that they're going to have timely responses from an administrative side of that process. We have a lot of analytics that can help us understand what is the, you know, the timeliness of response rates and things from our faculty and staff, so that we can make sure those spaces have the resources to meet the goals we have for very quick support for our students. It's been a great system. So like I said, it's not just what we do in terms of, you know, delivering a high quality academic experience in a great setting, but it's how we are doing it that is part of our differentiator.
Mm-hmm. I remember from when we visited that you mentioned one other thing, and that's that William Patterson was recently ranked as one of the LGBTQIA+ friendliest universities in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that ranking? I think it's called the Pride Index.
Yeah, the Pride Index.
What for sure. Maybe some of the initiatives or resources are that the university offers to students who identify on that spectrum?
Well, that's one of the most exciting things about William Patterson is how welcoming a campus community is for people, no matter what their walk of life or what their experiences that they're having now or that they might be evolving into. It's exciting for us that we have one of the few openly gay presidents of a university in the United States. And so that on its own sets a tone for what the campus community is like in terms of meeting people where they are, wherever they are, and creating a safe space for them. What's happening at the university is an emphasis on what's happening in the classroom is being the challenges or barriers that students are overcoming, not these other social pressures that may exist in other spaces. One of the activities, and there are so many of them, but one that I like, just because I see a poster about it frequently, is, you know, think of the letter T as the beverage, but it's LGBT, and it's a regular meeting where these types of topics are discussed, where students can come and meet night and be with one another. Again, just fostering that community, creating those spaces for students to really thrive. And that tone is just manifest throughout campus, whether it's students being able to identify their preferred name, their preferred pronouns, having that appear on their rosters in different spaces throughout campus, lets them know that as students, they are being seen and heard, and that we're meeting them where they are. That just makes it an incredible place to work.
And I think it's great to hear that, because I think that a lot of students might not expect that from a small town school. Mm-hmm. So they might be expecting that from a school in New York City or San Francisco or another major city with a very diverse population. But to find that in Wayne, I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that actually speaks to what the state of New Jersey is like. And, you know, being in the greater metropolitan area of New York, you know, there are pockets where people aren't going to be thinking that way for sure. But New Jersey is certainly a state where a student can come and really feel that they're going to be, you know, comfortable and welcomed, in particular at the William Paterson University.
Hmm. That's great.
Great.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about different study programs that William Paterson is offering for undergrad as well as graduate students, and unpack that a little bit. So, George, are there any programs that William Paterson is particularly known for or that you would like to highlight?
Well, sure. I mentioned before that we have, it's over 15, 16 or 17 specialized accreditations. I use that terminology because that means outside parties have come in and taken close looks at our programs to make sure that we are able to deliver on what we are offering to students, that we have the resources, not just in dollars, but in labs and faculty and research capacity to deliver at a really high level of excellence. So, you know, of course, one program that students will hear a lot about if they look up William Paterson University is our music and our jazz program. We're in the top five for music and jazz. Which is just fantastic. When it comes to things like communication and media, part of the reason we have strengths in these areas is our proximity to one of the largest broadcasting centers in the world in terms of New York City. We have students here where they will participate in our radio station, our TV broadcast labs that we have. They're training up for the jobs that they want to get in or near the city, but they really do go all over the place. But that demand, you know, there is the opportunity for the internships in these different industries. So here on campus, the students can, you know, get the practice and experience they need to go be top performers in internships that then lead to their various career paths. I mentioned before that we are AACSB accredited. This is the Association to Advance Collegiate Schools of Business. That accreditation is recognized as being among the top 5% of business programs in the world. So we're really excited for what we're able to offer there. Recently, the part of my staff and I participated in an exercise at the sales lab that is coordinated by our College of Business. And it was just an incredible experience where we were having mock interviews and seeing how we interacted with one another and looking for best practices. It was really an impressive experience. But whether it's, you know, those different programs, education, we have social justice studies, we have over 150 degree programs, inclusive of certificates as well. And I stress that even more than the programs that are of note, because many of the students who will come to William Paterson through this program, they won't be completing a full degree, but there should be, I would expect there to always be a great offering of courses that will make sense in your students' own academic career path. So while they're studying with us, they can still be making academic progress towards their degree at home. Based on the number of courses and majors that we have, I would expect there to be a great number of offerings for those students.
And then most of those departments and programs are open to students coming for just a semester or two, because I know that at some schools that we work with, programs like jazz or music or theater, those performance-based programs would not be open. What's the situation at William Patterson?
There are certainly going to be some like capstone courses or projects that are reserved for students who are near the end of their degree. But I would say any course is certainly open to a discussion with a faculty member. So I would that's always going to be on the table. But our students have fine art requirements, and part of our core curriculum requires students to have exposure to different disciplines. So it's already a norm for us for students to be taking courses that are outside of their major or in different disciplines. In some cases, there are prerequisites, and that's something that we work out with every student individually. But often that becomes a circumstance, like if a student wants to take Calc 3, you know, there has to be evidence that they're going to be able to be successful in that. And, you know, we figure that out with individual students. But if a student wanted to come and take something in our music program or have access to a jazz class, I would expect those opportunities to be there. But there is going to be possibly a proficiency test, depending on what level of course the student wants to take. Many of our students, though, you know, they're beginners in these spaces, or if they're taking it to satisfy their fine art requirement. So there will be a wide variety of opportunities.
Awesome.
And they, I should also mention, though, they do change semester to semester based on the course offerings. So, you know, as students talk to one another about what their experiences were, the real key is planning in advance, because we will map out what courses are available multiple semesters in advance. So if a student is thinking about studying at William Patterson University, we'll be able to get access through our course catalog so they can look at the semester they think or year that they're going to be here. We should be able to have a really good sense of what courses will be available to them well in advance.
Yeah, that's definitely a good offering. So lastly, before we come to the very last segment on our podcast, we would like to ask you a recurring question that we often like to ask our guests. As you may know, our podcast is called Beste Zeit, which in German roughly translates into time of your life. So our question would be, what type of students would have the best time of his or her life at William Patterson University?
Well, at William Patterson University, you know, a tagline that we really embody is the notion of willpower. You know, it's William Patterson University, but this notion of willpower, that student who is interested in studying abroad already has that spark that is associated in my mind with willpower, that drive to go out, be a little adventurous, be open to getting some support, but still trying new things. That student is going to arrive to William Patterson, and they are going to have multiple surprises. The time of their life aspect is going to come from having their expectations met and exceeded, because they're going to think one thing about New York City and then discover such a wide variety of amazing additional opportunities. And many students will find out that it's the urban experience is what initially attracted them, but it's something that's happening in one of the suburbs, or especially on the East Coast. We have such a deep history. We have cities here that were founded in the 1600s that you can go visit, and just getting exposure to what's happening in those areas. That is going to be, it's the diversity of the experience at William Patterson that's, I think, going to give these students the time of their life.
I think you forgot one important aspect, though.
Yeah,
they have to look good in orange.
This is
certainly... So that's a tough one, right?
I know this isn't just an audio only. So yeah, William Patterson colors are black and a very nice bright orange, and our community embraces it. So, you know, in the U.S., it's very common to say that you will bleed black and orange once you have your experience at William Patterson. And I think that will be true. When students arrive, we're going to get you your first T-shirt or something to get you started. But yeah, certainly. Well, and I will also, it's worth mentioning, with a campus that is as beautiful as ours in terms of it being in a wooded setting, as autumn begins to set in and our leaves start changing colors, I mean, there's about a month and a half or 2 months here that are just off the charts beautiful just because of the way the leaves change.
Yeah. William Patterson must be quite popular in the Netherlands. because their orange is their color. So right. I don't know if you have any Dutch students on campus, or maybe if not, then that might be thought to go out.
And we have two new Dutch students this fall. I just met them at our international orientation.
Yeah. And they brought all their orange gear with them, probably. So
they already fit in. Yeah.
They already fit in.
All right. So the formal part of this conversation is over, so you can relax now, or maybe not, because we're getting into our favorite segment, which is the this or that question. So everything up until now was just the warm up for the final round of spontaneous questions, or better, questions that we would like you to answer quickly and spontaneously without giving them too much thought. They should be fairly easy. There's no right or wrong. So are you ready?
I am ready.
Perfect. So let's go. What do you prefer, a Broadway show in Times Square or a university theater production at William Patterson?
The university theater production, because I know the students and I love seeing them shine.
All right. And if you have to go to Broadway, what's your favorite Broadway show, Hamilton or Wicked?
To my surprise, Wicked.
Really? Okay. Better music or?
As much as I did. I had the thing, Hamilton, I had to listen to the soundtrack in advance and then listen to it afterwards. There were parts that I loved the style, but I wasn't keeping pace with everything. It was very quick. Whereas Wicked was just, you know, I understood everything. I kind of knew the story already, and it was, it exceeded my expectations.
Okay. And beyond those two, any kind of insider tips?
Oh,
favorite Broadway show of all times, maybe?
Well, the insider tip will be when students get here, the different ways to get tickets. Because there are a way to get discounted tickets or to show up and get tickets, but you have to have some insider information that we will help students navigate when they get to campus.
Okay, sounds good. Next question, Brooklyn Bridge Walk or Staten Island Ferry Ride?
Oh, the ferry ride.
The ferry ride?
Absolutely.
You don't want to walk or run across the Brooklyn Bridge?
I'm okay with the Brooklyn Bridge. That is beautiful and has its own, but the views you're going to get from the ferry ride are just incredible. And I like being out on the boats like that.
And it's free.
Correct.
that's another good thing. Perfect. Now let's move on to the topic of entertainment. What's more your style of event? US Open at Flushing Meadows or Taylor Swift at MetLife Stadium?
Oh, this is tough. I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not against the Swifties. My husband just went to the US Open. Like, what a treat that was. So I'll go with the US Open.
You'll go with the US Open.
He didn't save a ticket for me, though. So I'm not sure how to take that.
Next question, a day at the Museum of Modern Art or the American Museum of Natural History?
I'm going to do natural history because they just opened a brand new exhibit that I was reading about, and I have intentions of being there somewhere in the next week or two.
Okay. What kind of exhibit is that?
Shame on me. I saw pictures of it. You know, it's something, dinosaur related, but just looked fascinating.
Okay. Perfect. And then final question, and then you're done. A night out in the Meatpacking District or in the East Village?
Oh, certainly the East Village. You know, when you're asking earlier about those little hidden experiences that you're not going to necessarily see as a tourist, at least on those top 10 lists that students will look up, getting into the East Village is where you're going to find those around every corner. So absolutely the East Village.
All right. So we're done. You've made it.
Well done.
It's a wrap. Yeah. thank you so much, George.
Well, no, thank you again for the opportunity just to be with the two of you again, but also, to kind of lay the groundwork for us to welcome your students to William Patterson. We can't wait to have them here.
Yeah, it's been great fun talking to you today, and we hope to see you again soon. If you do decide to sign up for the Ironman in Frankfurt, let us know, and we'll definitely cheer you on from the sidelines and maybe
I get it. That's
train
okay.
with you? Maybe.
I'm not sure about that, yeah.
We'll see.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Ich glaube, für meinen nächsten New York-Trip buche ich mir George als Reiseführer.
Oh ja, ich bin dabei.
Aber Spaß beiseite. Mich hat die Kombination aus idyllischem Campus und Großstadtleben echt überzeugt. Dich auch?
Auf jeden Fall. Ich muss zugeben, dass ich ganz am Anfang etwas skeptisch war, ob es tatsächlich so einfach und schnell geht, von Wayne nach New York zu kommen. Aber wir haben das ja selbst ausprobiert, als wir im Mai auf dem Campus waren. Von der Haltestelle auf dem Campus bis zum Port Authority Bus Terminal in Manhattan hat es wirklich nur 45 Minuten gedauert. Und die Fahrt war auch eigentlich sehr entspannt.
Ja, das fand ich auch. Und wenn ich mich richtig erinnere, fährt der Bus ziemlich regelmäßig. Also jetzt nicht nur ein, zwei Mal am Tag.
Stimmt. Und im Zweifel gibt es ja immer noch Uber. Wenn man sich mit ein paar Leuten zusammentut, kostet das auch nicht die Welt.
Wenn ihr jetzt Lust auf ein Auslandssemester an der William Patterson University bekommen habt, werft doch am besten gleich mal einen Blick in unsere Shownotes zu dieser Folge. Dort findet ihr unter anderem Links zum Hochschulprofil und zu verschiedenen Themen, die George während des Gesprächs erwähnt hat.
Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes wie immer auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Ruft uns an oder schreibt uns, wenn ihr Fragen zur William Patterson University habt oder euch ganz allgemein über die Möglichkeiten eines Auslandssemesters an unseren Partnerhochschulen informieren möchtet.
Wir schicken euch dann gerne unsere ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung mit vielen Infos und Tipps zur Bewerbung an der William Patterson University zu. Die Anleitung ist kostenlos, genau wie unser gesamter Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
In der nächsten Folge dreht sich bei uns alles um das Jurastudium an der Victoria University of Wellington in Neuseeland. Bis dahin sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, genießt den Spätsommer und habt eine gute Zeit.